But first, Flint has its first new master plan in more than 50 years. Last night, the Flint City Council approved the plan, which calls for stabilizing neighborhoods hard hit by blight and creating new opportunities for business investment. Scott Kincaid is the president of the Flint City Council. He likes the new master plan.
But it all comes down to money. You know, you can't do a lot of things without having the right funding and the funding sources.
City officials and residents spent the last 2 years coming up with this plan. Flint, of course, is about 50 miles northwest of Detroit. It's been under state oversight since 2011. The city currently is dealing with $3 million in structural debt. Nina Ignazik is a writer for Issue Media Group, and she's been digging into this new master plan. Welcome back to the program, Nina.
Thank you.
Well, you put this in some pretty great context when you made the point in your story that the last time the city of Flint adopted a master plan, Elvis Presley had been promoted to sergeant in the Army.
Yes.
Why did it take more than 50 years to get an updated master plan?
Well, it wasn't for lack of trying. The city did over the years try to establish master plans. There were several efforts in the 1970s and 1980s, but none were ever formally adopted. There's a few reasons for this. There was a lot of turmoil politically as the automotive industry pulled out of the city, but also the planning staff and the planners at that time really didn't make the effort to engage the community. So this was the first time that they were really able to get everybody in the community working together working on the same page.
Well, it certainly seems consequences happened for Flint for not having this updated roadmap to help guide the city.
Yes, absolutely. Megan Hunter, the chief planning officer with the city, talked about in cases in which infrastructure was laid down, roads were laid down on roads where there were only one or two houses. So this plan hopefully creates more of a comprehensive look at the city and will help them better plan for the future because they've looked at the information, they looked at their demographics, and they've got a vision of where they want to be.
And they talked to a lot of people, didn't they?
Yes, they talked. She mentioned that they talked to over 250 interactions and they've reached over 5,000 people.
So a lot of voices. So, Nina, what are the main parts of Flint's new master plan?
Well, the plan is divided up into chapters. So they talk a little bit of background of the community and an overall vision. They have a land use plan, a housing and neighborhoods plan, a transportation and mobility plan, an environmental features plan, an infrastructure and community facilities plan, an economic development plan, a public safety, health, and welfare plan, and an arts and culture plan, and an implementation plan for all of that. So it's very comprehensive.
Very, very comprehensive. One of the things I wanted to talk about with you is one of these central features is a road diet.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Well, a road diet, like it sounds, is making a road smaller. As is the case in Detroit and in Flint and in a lot of the older industrial cities, the roads are way over capacity for the amount of traffic that is currently using them. And so they're really not providing a benefit to the community because they're large roads, they're hard to cross, they take up a lot of space. So a road diet really tries to reduce possibly the number of lanes in the road or the width of the road and to use that the other areas of the road for other purposes. So it may be a bike lane. It may be public space. There's a whole variety of things that can go into a road diet. And one of the biggest advantages is that they really provide an opportunity to knit areas together that had been divided by these large major roads.
Well, I can only imagine, for example, 475, which people see every time they head from Detroit up north. You see that 475. And really, that was designed to get people to and from auto plants, wasn't it?
Exactly. And 475 is one of the major roads that is underutilized at this point. I did ask Megan about that because, as you may know, in Detroit, there's talk right now about I-375, which is a similar connector and potentially boulevarding that road.
Right.
And changing the configuration. She said that there had not been talk about doing a similar treatment to 475. Their road diets are really targeting other roads in the city. But she did mention that they had been looking to find ways to connect neighborhoods that had been separated by 475 in the past through other means, like actually building tunnels below the road and that kind of thing. So they definitely are looking at ways to address it.
And they could do that in a cost-conscious way, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be much less expensive than decommissioning a freeway.
Well, in fact, let's talk about the overall plan, a very ambitious plan. We heard Scott Kincaid at the top of this interview saying it all comes down to money. And money is scarce. They're under state oversight. Are there no cost or low cost ways to implement the plan and take the city where the plan spells out?
There will be lower cost, low hanging fruit type of implementation that they'll be looking at implementing immediately. And a lot of this will come out of the partnerships that they've built through this process. So they've partnered really closely with the medical facilities, the colleges, and they have a great partnership with the MTA, the Metro Transit Authority, so that as the Metro Transit Authority goes to implement its projects, it will take into account the things that have been laid down in the Flint plan, and hopefully there'll be a partnership for funding there. Foundations in the community have also been very active, but it is going to require some of the larger projects are going to require some serious money going forward, and they'll be looking for grants and partnerships and things like that to implement the plan.
Well, as you talk to representatives of Flint's community, whether it is employers or hospitals or foundations or the local leaders, is the will there to make this thing happen? I guess what I'm trying to ask, Nina, do you think this really is, this master plan, something that will make a difference in Flint, or could it easily slip back to window dressing, something to wave at the rest of the state going, look, we're trying, but never really acting on it?
Well, I think that's the same question that could be asked of a lot of our cities that are trying to create these plans. The city of Detroit with Detroit Future City is kind of in the same boat, and it's really going to be dependent upon all of the partners in maintaining that momentum. And I think Flint has seen some major development in the last 10 years. They've really done a lot with their downtown. There's been a lot of urban farming that's sprung up over the years. There's been some new businesses. So I think there is a bit of a buzz happening. And the question is, can that be capitalized upon? Can the good economy, the economic recovery be sustained long enough to let things happen? Our old Rust Belt cities are definitely challenged in these ways. But I do think that they've built a coalition through this process unlike anything they've really had before. So I think they have a really good chance.
Do you you may or may not be able to answer this, but it makes me wonder. It seems that Flint and Detroit, as you point out, they have similar master plans. Let's look ahead, plan for the future. Many of the same challenges. Is one city or the other further ahead down this road of making this happen? Is perhaps Flint further down than Detroit, or can Detroit teach things to Flint? Where are they at?
You know, I think Detroit certainly has a lot of advantages in some respects because it's really got the eyes of the nation on it, and it has Dan Gilbert and a lot of the boosters that are trying to really push things forward and make things happen as far as private investment, and we're getting M1 rail and things like that in Detroit. But on the other hand, you know, Flint's not undergoing bankruptcy at this point, so you know, whether that's going to be a detriment to Detroit or an advantage, I think that remains to be seen. Detroit just has a lot more attention being paid to it, but Flint has a lot of the same issues and problems, and there are a lot of the same causes of those problems. So I'd say they're pretty comparable, and they probably would benefit from some sharing of ideas between the two.
Nina Ignacek, writer for Issue Media Group, as she takes us through some of the details and the repercussions of Flint's first new master plan in more than 50 years. Nina, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.